Welcome everyone to a new episode of The Tap. I am your host, author Andrew Hess. I am flying solo today as I am bringing to you the Survivor Series countdown. Yes, we are coming up on that time of year again. I know it's September and we are only 2.5 months away, but there is a lot of Survivor Series to cover in that time frame. And I'm not going to go and keep up and really take up a whole lot of everyone's time when we go through these Survivor Series countdowns. So I'm actually, last week I did four of them to kind of get the ball rolling. This week I'm only going to cover two of them. I'm going to be covering 1991 and 1992, both of which I feel have their own strong suits and kind of set up for their own ways of kind of going forward with historical content for the WWE. So we're going to kick it off right now. 1991 Survivor Series. Your hosts were Bobby Heenan and Gorilla Monsoon, classic announce team. I always loved seeing them together. They were great. And this one definitely had a little bit of, this was actually the first Survivor Series where there was a one-on-one match, not even just a one-on-one match. It was a WWF title match. And we're going to get to that in just a little bit. The first thing that we're going to cover is they recapped Jake the Snake Roberts and Macho Man Randy Savage incident from Superstars the week before Survivor Series. And in this instance was when Jake Roberts attacked Macho Man Randy Savage, had him tied up in the ropes, and then unleashed the King Cobra on Randy Savage, having it bite his arm and obviously drawing blood. And basically it became like a huge situation. And if you actually watch Dark Side of the Ring, and even some of the commentary from outside of that, Jake Roberts has always kind of held firm to what exactly happened. In which he actually had, he had been told he's not really one for the snakes really to begin with. But he actually was told to do this. And Randy Savage had come up to Jake the Snake Roberts prior to all this happening and said, "So the snake's supposed to be biting me tonight." And he made sure that, you know, the snake had been devenomized, and then said, if you want me to get bit by that snake tonight, you have to get bit by the snake first." So Jake went ahead and he did let the snake bite him, but he was so pissed at the way that Macho Man came at him over this and basically forcing him to be bitten by the snake because he was afraid to go and be bitten by himself, that Jake Roberts had riled up the snake. I mean, he was literally like smacking the hell out of the snake. And I know that came off as a very dirty content, but you know, he was trying to do everything possible to rile the snake up and piss it off prior to unleashing it on Macho Man. So when that snake actually bit Macho Man, it was really digging in there. So that was the lead into the whole Survivor Series. And now they were supposed to be part of a Survivor Series match. And they were both removed from it because of this situation, which forced the main event match to now be an elimination 3-on-3 instead of an elimination 4-on-4. And that's the other thing when it came to the 91 Survivor Series. This is the first year that instead of doing a 5-on-5, really, you were doing 4-on-4. I mean, I do see in 89 they had done that too. So I apologize on that. Maybe it wasn't the first year, but this is that whole mode, like that whole mindset that they had started to drift it back from 5-on-5 to 4-on-4. So let's get right into it for the rest of the action. In this, we had the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, the Mountie, Warlord, and the Nature Boy, Ric Flair, take on Bret Hart, Virgil, the British Bulldog, and Hot Rod Roddy Piper. Now, first off with this, you actually had Ric Flair, who was promoting himself as the real world champion. He was actually walking around with what everyone calls the big gold belt. This was the one that Ric Flair had sported as the NWA World Champion for years at this point. And when he jumped ship to WWE, he owned that belt. It was his belt, and he took it with him. And then WCW or WCW / NWA was filing injunctions against him to stop him from showing it on TV, which is why they had to keep on blacking it out. This match was kind of like a weird one because also, I mean, you did have a couple of eliminations, but then at the very end, you had almost everybody outside of the ring at once, except for Ric Flair. I mean, you had, I believe it was, I want to say it was Virgil, Brett, Piper, DiBiase, and Mountie were all outside of the ring brawling with each other. And the referees kept trying to get them back inside the ring. And they all refused to get inside the ring, which prompted them, the referees, to disqualify everybody except for Ric Flair. And that's how Ric Flair ended up winning his match at the 91 Survivor Series. The next match, I really didn't care for, to be honest with you. I think it was kind of a letdown. It had a little bit of something like substance to it in terms of plots. It was Texas Tornado, Tito Santana, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and Sergeant Slaughter, who had just turned babyface again, taking on Colonel Mustafa, who we all know as the Iron Sheik, Hercules, Skinner, and the Berserker. And the only real storyline that I can even remember from out of this was Slaughter and Colonel Mustafa, because Slaughter had turned babyface. Colonel Mustafa was still obviously anti-America at that point. So the two of them were butting heads again, going back to their old feuds from when it was Sergeant Slaughter and Iron Sheik. And that's pretty much it from that match. It was a clean sweep with Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Tornado, Tito Santana, and Slaughter getting the clean sweep. They get the win. The next up, which was this part was actually the surprising, that they put the WWF title match right in the middle of the card. At least this was how it was displayed on the WWE Network. And even when I looked up on Wikipedia to see the order, how everything went, it was that order. So the WWF title match was actually right in the center of the program, and it was Hulk Hogan defending against the unbeaten Undertaker. No one had pinned or submitted the Undertaker at this point. And this was for the WWF title. And it actually, they had a good storyline leading up into it. Obviously the Undertaker had debuted the year before at the 90s SummerSlam Survivor Series. And he had just tore through everybody. Now, you had Undertaker versus Hogan. It was somebody who was unbeatable versus the immortal one, the one that everyone looked up to. You know, the say your prayers, eat your vitamins, all this kind of BS. And at one point, it did look like Hulk Hogan was going to win. He even kicked out of the tombstone. But of course, you had Ric Flair, who came out to ringside during this time to try to steal the WWF title. And as he's doing that, Hulk Hogan stops and puts his hands on Ric Flair. And basically, all hell breaks loose. Now, as there's so much distractions going on at ringside, you had Undertaker get Hogan back up for the tombstone. And this time, Ric Flair slides a chair in. So when Undertaker connected on the tombstone, he tombstone pile drove Hogan onto the chair. Flair removes it instantly. Undertaker gets the win and becomes the new World Wrestling Federation champion. And this was his first title in the WWE. So now this actually, this and then the Jake Roberts and Macho Man Randy Savage then sets up the premise for Tuesday night in Texas, the very next event that they had after Survivor Series. And they made it where Randy Savage was fully reinstated. He was going to take on Jake the Snake Roberts. And I believe it was a Texas death match for that one. And then Hulk Hogan took on The Undertaker in a rematch for the WWF title. And this became very important for everything. And obviously, because we don't it was a one-time event, so you're never going to hear us really cover them at like the Tuesday Night in Texas event. But Hulk Hogan and The Undertaker had wrestled each other. Jack Tunney had promised, you know, no shenanigans. He was actually at ringside, but somehow shenanigans, of course, happen. It's WWE, it's pro wrestling. Of course, there's shenanigans. Hogan actually gets a handful of the ashes from the urn and throws it in Undertaker's face. He does get the win, becomes the new World Wrestling Federation champion again. But this time now, because of all the shenanigans, Jack Tunney had stripped Hogan of the title, which it kind of goes back to what we've all said for the so long when it comes to WWE, is just like there's no reasoning behind anything that they ever do. But they stripped Hogan of the title. And then this was it was held up for a while, not really, not that long, but it was held up until that Royal Rumble. And the winner of that of the 92 Royal Rumble was going to become the new World Wrestling Federation champion. So that's the biggest historical part of this 91 Survivor Series. Now, just to finish things up out of it, you had the Beverly Brothers and the Nasty Boys get the win. Nasties and Blake from the Beverly Brothers get the win over the Bushwhackers and the Rockers. And then here's actually one other little piece of history was you had more of the tease of the Marty Jannetty Shawn Michaels split from the Rockers. And this is what wound up causing, it wasn't the cause of the split. They actually did have a few more run-ins prior to it. And then again, you had at the barbershop where Brutus Beefcake interviewed the Rockers, asking about if they were going to split. And then Shawn Michaels did inevitably super kick Marty Jannetty and then throw him through the plate glass window at the barbershop, effectively splitting the Rockers at that point, sending Shawn Michaels on a singles career that catapulted him to just incredible heights. Probably the best wrestler of all time. Many can argue that. Finally, on the 91 Survivor Series, you had IRS and the Natural Disasters taking on the Big Boss Man and the Legion of Doom. Legion of Doom and Natural Disasters were feuding at this point over the tag team titles. So obviously this is one of the reasons why they, you know, they were in these matches. Legion of Doom was the one who ended up winning for their team. Now, we're going to switch gears. We're going to go to the 1992 Survivor Series, where this one, it was Vince McMahon and Bobby the Brain Heenan. This is actually one where there was not really, they had, I think, one. Yeah, I'm actually reviewing it. They only had one Survivor Series match this entire thing. Everything else was regular matches. So you had the Head Shrinkers, Samu and Fatu, who we all know as Rikishi, got the win over High Energy, which was Coco Beware and Owen Hart. You had the Big Boss Man getting the win over Nails in a nightstick match. You had Tatanka getting the win over the model Rick Martel. And the feud for this one was Tatanka had been presented an Indian headdress. I actually forgot who had presented it to him. I'm drawing a blank on that one at the moment, but I apologize. But Rick Martel had stolen it and was spraying it with his arrogance, his arrogance spray that he usually used. It was a ridiculous feud with Tatanka getting the overall win. Next up, you had Macho Man Randy Savage teaming with Mr. Perfect to take on and won against Razor Ramon and Ric Flair. And with this, you had Macho Man Randy Savage already feuding with Ric Flair because of their matches over the World Wrestling Federation title, stemming from WrestleMania and then even post WrestleMania. This set up then, he actually was feuding a little bit with Razor Ramon as well. He needed a tag team partner. He chose Mr. Perfect, who was part of the Heenan-Ric Flair alliance thing that they were going on with. And Bobby Heenan was just like, no, you're not allowed to go and team with him. He actually slaps Mr. Perfect, and Mr. Perfect, kind of attacks Bobby the Brain Heenan a little bit, pours water on his head. He joins Razor, Macho Man Randy Savage, and they get the win over Razor and Flair. This actually continued on with Mr. Perfect and Ric Flair feuding actually for a little while after this, including up to the next Royal Rumble, where I believe Mr. Perfect had actually eliminated Ric Flair. And then they had one more blow-off match before Ric Flair had rejoined WCW. Next up, you had Yokozuna get the win over Virgil. Squash match for City right there. Finally, you had the Natural Disasters and the Nasty Boys team up against the Beverly Brothers and Money Inc. The thing here was Money Inc. being the tag team champions. Jimmy Hart had sided with them. Jimmy Hart had actually managed at one point Money Inc., the Nasty Boys, and the Natural Disasters, but had continued to turn his back on the other teams and siding with Money Inc. So Money Inc., Nasties and Natural Disasters were looking for payback. The Nasty Boys were the ones who got the win on this one. Finally, you had not so, sorry, not finally, but next up, you had the Undertaker getting the win over Kamala in a casket match. This kind of stemmed from their SummerSlam match itself, where Kamala did not go ahead and get into the casket. He ran away from it. So we had it was a decent one this time, but it was kind of a different take on the whole casket match. It used to be where, once your opponent is inside of it, if you close the lid, you are now the victor, you're the winner. With this one, it was a smaller box. It was actually a regular pine wood box type of situation. And Kamala was put into it. The lid was not one that was already prefixed attached to the casket, so it had to be placed on top of the casket, and then Undertaker had to hammer the nails into the casket, and that was how he won. Finally, you actually, and I didn't even remember seeing this match previously, but it was Bret Hart defending the WWF title against the current Intercontinental Champion, Shawn Michaels. So with this, it was champion versus champion again, WWF title versus the Intercontinental title. And only thing is, it was the only title that was actually on the line was the WWF Championship. This was a classic between Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels. Again, one of the legendary feuds that you wind up seeing with them, the beginning of it at least. I mean, this continues on when you look at the next Survivor Series. It was actually supposed to be Bret Hart and versus Jerry Lawler, but they stick Shawn Michaels in there instead. And we'll get to that on the next episode. But it goes to really show that the Bret Hart Shawn Michaels feud had really been started in 1992 and continued to carry on through all these years. It was definitely something that you want to go and check back on. It was a classic match. Bret Hart getting the win, of course. That ends our show for today. We will be back next week. We will be going over the 92, 93 and 94 Survivor Series. Yep, 93 and 94 Survivor Series. Sorry. I'm getting my notes and ready for that next week. And when we get to 95, 96, I will be bringing in a special host, a guest host for that one as well. So stay tuned on that. We will be back again, normal times, hopefully this week, where we'll be going over Rampage and any other items that may have come up over the weekend on the Monday show. For now, I am author Andrew Hess, and find out next time what's on tap.